Yo, what's going on, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of the Morning Yankee Show. It is Tuesday, July 7th, 2026. As we said yesterday, we're taking this race series one game at a time. And yesterday felt like the playoffs in July was excruciatingly intense. And fortunately, the Yankees come out on top in game one, three more games left to go. And again, taking it day by day. Last night was awesome. Probably my favorite win of the year. We're going to break it all down. Hope you all are doing well. Of course, we are live Monday through Friday here on the Yankees Avenue YouTube channel. Live every morning with the Morning Yankee Show. Also live for all four games with watch parties for this Rays series. Anyways, yes, hope you're all doing great. And with that said, yes, we'll be live again tonight for game two. We were live last night. It was incredible. Early on, offense not doing much at all against Griffin Jacks. I will say, there's a lot of good to talk about with last night, and here's where maybe I will chill out a little bit. I actually really do think the at-bats looked significantly better second time through against Jacks and later on against the Rays' bullpen. Still some, you know, people will mention the Yankees only had three hits last night. They'll mention how, you know, there was a perfect game entering the fifth inning where Jose Caballero hit that huge home run, which we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about Cam Schlitter. We're also going to talk about a report from Buster. I shouldn't say a report, but a opinion, but with some fact-based logic surrounding a potential Luis Arraez trade. Again, all speculation, no rumors here or nothing, but we're going to touch on that at the very end. But, you know, there's part of last night's win, and I 100% understand where people will be like, oh, it's just one game. What does it mean? Well, I'll tell you, it means a lot. That was a huge win last night. But also, I think there's a lot of promising things to come from last night's victory besides just the obvious in that Cam dominated. Jose Caballero continues to prove why, in my opinion, and my opinion is one that is not an Anthony Volpe hater's opinion, but I simply just prefer Jose Caballero at shortstop. He continues to prove why he should be the starting shortstop. We're going to get into all that and more. I think we probably should start out with Cam. So with that said, click like on the stream if you do not mind. We're also available on podcast, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, all that. We're live Monday through Friday. Anyways, nonetheless, let's get into it. We talked about it last week, too, against Detroit. And, you know, everybody can have a bad start here or there, which indeed Cam did. Six runs he was rocked for against the Tigers last week at the stadium. Well, we just went with a similar storyline entering last night's game, which is the Yankees needed their ace on Monday night, and that is exactly what they got.
Swing and a miss. Got it right by him. Swing and a miss. And there goes another strikeout on 99.
2-2.
Popped up. That was 98. Jazz Chisholm will put it away for the final out of the eighth. Eight strong innings for Cam Schlitter, giving the Yankees just what they need.
Exactly just what they needed. And yo, you could tell early on with Cam, we were saying on the watch party that there's times where there's multiple ways you could tell. You could tell with the fastball, which is always, even when he's not on, the fastball is going to be upper 90s and it looks terrific. He had the Boston fastball last night. He had the fastball that you saw a couple weeks ago against the Cincinnati Reds. You can tell when there's that extra little jolt, that extra little life on the fastball, which he indeed had last night. But you can also tell, wrong one, we'll get to that quote in just a minute. You can also tell when Cam is clenching his jaw in anger. You can tell when Cam has that, one might call it demon mode, one might call it, whichever way you want to phrase it, he had that look about him last night. He had that killer, like, I want to put you to sleep, a shit look from the second last night's game started, which you never know exactly how that's going to transpire. You don't know if that's going to lead to, with any pitcher, a certain look on their face, meaning, all right, they're going to take care of business tonight. You could tell clearly he wanted to, and we'll get into the reasons why that was in just a moment. But Cam showed up last night. Cam showed up big time last night, and that was another example of where he is the Yankees' ace. And I have much more to say on this topic once we get into his post-game quotes. But the outing itself speaks for itself. But early on, while it's never definitive, you could just tell the clenching the jaw in anger. It was similar to the look he had against Boston. Ego plays a big, big role in who Cam Schlitter is. And it gets me even more excited about not just the stuff, what we've seen so far this year, how real this entire thing is. And that's where we get to last night's quote, which unfortunately we can't play any post-game sound because nothing against. Yes, they had to bleep it out because Cam used a curse word. So last night, post-game quote, this is courtesy of Chris Kirschner, but everybody had it. So, of course, Cam coming last week off the Tigers start, 6 runs. And there was a lot of chatter, a lot of talk from certain guys that I like. I mean, I'm not even going to be vague with it. Like Jared Carrabas, who's a good-ass dude, and he's a Red Sox fan. He's not a fan of Cam Schlittler in terms of, you know, him being the ace of the New York Yankees. That's fair. I've said things about opposing players, certainly in my time as well. But there was a lot of talk after that start against Detroit where, here we go, the regression to Cam Schlittler. And people were taking the Boston start previously as part of the reason why, you know, Cam is on his way back down to earth. The Durbin home run, not ideal, but he shouldn't have faced him to begin with. The defense screwed him in that Boston start. But nonetheless, he had a bad outing against Detroit. We know that. He got rocked. Well, Cam Schlittler, post-game quote, obviously you guys can see it here on the screen, but for those who are audio only, this was Cam Schlittler post-game. He said, they want to say there's effing regression because I have one bad outing. So again, it was personal to go out there and have a dominant start and put this team in the right position. When I saw that, when all of us saw that across Yankees Twitter last night, across social media, I, Talking Yanks, everybody posted that right away. And for good reason, the reason being, when you see a quote like that, again, the outing speaks for itself. The look on his face in the first inning speaks for itself. The season speaks for itself. This dude has the ego of an ace. And that's what a quote last night, what that does for me. When I see that, I quoted out or quote tweeted on Twitter saying, like, in a joking phrasing, but I was like, holy shit, it's an ace. Because that's what that quote tells me, is that this dude was pissed. And it's one thing, whether it be ego from chatter about his previous start, where he did get indeed rocked, and he wanted to shut down that noise right away, which is exactly what he did. He also mentions putting the team on his back, which is exactly what he did. He pitched like an ace. He has the ego of an ace. Really, I mean, make no mistake, he is the Yankees ace. Now, we can get into the postseason, when that time does come, pedigree, Gerrit Cole might get the ball in game one. Which word of? I love you, Gerrit Cole. Max Fried, I can't wait to have you back. Carlos Rodon, we know he's going to be starting game one, but for a lot of teams, he would be their number one starter. And we do miss Carlos Rodon. But make no mistake, right now, and last night, if it wasn't solidified already, last night did for me, Cam Schlittler is the Yankees ace. No way around it. Like, no, nothing else to say. Cam Schlittler is the ace of the New York Yankees. And last night, if it wasn't certain already, last night to me proved that. So 8 innings, dominant baseball, 4 hits, 1 run, no walks, 8 strikeouts. And again, you could just tell from the jump, yo. First inning, the look on his face, the fastball, just had that little extra. Lately, I've been nervous about jinxes because I don't want to get ahead of myself. Maybe I've been doing that a little bit this season because I've been, you know, feeling good about running it back and where we've been at. And obviously, things kind of unraveled a little bit. And we entered play last night, 4 games back at Tampa Bay. Now we're 3 games back, which, let's pull up the standings really quick. So, you know, I'm not trying to get ahead of myself here. And last night watching in the, during the watch party, I was saying, chat, exactly that. I'm not going to get ahead of myself. But for those who are watching the game along, we're in a good spot. That's exactly what I said. And you all know exactly that mindset that I was coming from, which is you can tell with Cam. And last night you could tell with Cam, and it was box office. It was badass. 3-game lead, the Yankees go into, or 3-game lead, 3-game deficit, the Yankees enter play tonight. We'll preview a little bit more of that game later on. You had Will Warren on the bump versus the lefty Ian Seymour. More on that later. We got much more to talk about this game and Jose Caballero, but yeah, much to discuss on tonight's game, what the lineup could be, because Ian Seymour is technically a lefty. But nonetheless, huge win last night. Cam is a big reason as to why. Another big reason as to why, of course, is Jose Caballero. And this is going to be an interesting conversation. We've talked about it a lot, and I know it's annoying to have to continue to preface it this way, because it's repetitive, I know. I am not a Volpe hater. I just have to say that because I do think this fan base gets incredibly out of line with the way they talk about Volpe and acting as if... I think this year it's more ridiculous than ever because Volpe, while... Listen, is he a bust? Yeah, he's a bust. But he is by no means the Yankees' biggest issue right now. And defensively, while we'll talk about this, Jose Caballero is better at turning double plays. Anthony Volpe is not a bad defender at shortstop. He already has 6 outs above average at the position. And forget metrics, eye test-wise. If you've just been watching every single day, is there a bad play that'll stand out? Yeah, the one that comes to my mind is the relay throw in Boston, or against Boston at the stadium a few weeks back, maybe a month ago now. Volpe's not great. Volpe, I don't even say is good, but he's not an abomination. He's not the reason why the Yankees have been going through this slump. The Volpe hate gets way out of line. I always have to preface it with that because I have the opinion of simply, and I wish I could just say it like this, but you can't because some people may group you in. And I'm not saying those who are pro-Volpe, those people can be kind of irritating too, like the Volpe glazers and lovers, but to each their own. I certainly shill out for certain aspects of this Yankees team. I get it. But I'm not trying to be grouped in with those who are like, F Volpe, oh, classic old Volpe. I remember one time Chloe, when she was going to a game, was like, it was when Volpe was returning. She's like, oh, my first game of the year is going to be when Volpe's playing. I'm like, don't do that. This isn't TikTok. Like, don't make a fool of yourself. Like, I don't need to, but she doesn't, she actually really does ball, by the way. I don't mean like that. But more so what I mean is like, people can just fall into this line of thinking that they see on Twitter or like go along with jokes that Volpe's the worst player of all time. That's just not true. I mean, we're going to talk about Jose Caballero here. I'm going on too long about this, I know. I will say, like, Jimmy and Jake, no ball. I didn't love that tweet yesterday about Anthony Volpe's OBP and how it's the worst OBP, in, which is a very true stat. They're not wrong in his OBP 3 years of what it, where it's at. It's like the most plate appearances for that low in OBP. Like, Volpe's been disappointing. We know that. Volpe's been a bust. That tweet was put out while he currently has a 340 OBP. Like, I just, that, unnecessary. A lot of the Volpe hate is unnecessary. And here I go again. This is repetitive, it's annoying, but I do have to preface it because it gets out of line. The reason I say all this is Jose Caballero should be the Yankees' everyday starting shortstop. And he proved that again as to why last night. Not that one game proves an argument, but everything that we talk about and we'll continue to talk about in this conversation right here was aided by his game last night. And not just because of the home run, but almost why the home run happened. And everything Jose Caballero is about goes a long way as to why he's my preference at shortstop over Anthony Volpe. And again, last night, huge reason why. Fifth inning, 2 on. Yankees doing nothing yet at the plate. You get a couple walks. Jason Dominguez reaches. Jazz Chisholm Jr. reaches. You get first and second, 1 out. Jose Caballero. And 3-run bomb.
Fly ball, left field and deep. Simpson back on the track at the wall. See ya! A huge 3-run home run by Caballero. And the Yankees lead 3-0. Just a huge hit for Caballero, his 9th home run of the year. But he got the barrel to it. He pulled his hands in. Just a big 3-run homer.
I've always told you guys, one of the things that stands out to me about Jose is he thinks he's the best player on the field every night. And that's powerful. And in a game of failure, you got to have that. And he does.
3-run homer, of course, had 2 home runs on the night. Later added a solo shot for his career-high 10th of the year. Now, on Caballero, let's get the facts, I mean, we discussed about already out of the way. Volpe's not a bad defender at shortstop. I think Caballero is better. Now, there might be an argument, very much so, for all facets of the game. Offensively, they're quite similar. I mean, Caballero, after last night's games, at a 99 WRC+. Volpe on the season is at a 95 WRC+. Caballero has hit for a little bit more power, actually a lot more power than Volpe. Volpe has gotten on base at a better clip than Caballero. You go by outs above average, Volpe's a better defender at shortstop. You go by defensive runs saved, which, in fairness, Boone did mention, is his preference for defensive metrics. Caballero's a better defender at shortstop. Eye test-wise, though, and there are stats to back this up as well, let's just say all things are equal between the two of them, which I think is a very fair argument. The tiebreakers being, Jose Caballero is better at turning double plays. I think that is very much clear, and that is a preference on his end of things. That's huge. I also think he gives you better at-bats. Now, he'll also be capable of some putrid at-bats. We talked yesterday how I think one of the worst at-bats to come on Sunday against Joe Ryan was Jose Caballero. It was an awful at-bat, but guys will have awful at-bats. Cody Bellinger, who I think at his best is one of the best at-bats on the team, lately is putting up at-bats that look like I'm in the box. Those will happen, but I do think Caballero gives you a better at-bat. I think he's more capable of grinding out at-bats, and during a slump like this, that is very important. But those are things that we already know. I included that Boone post-game sound because I am of firm belief that is a major difference between the two of them, Caballero and Volpe, the mental. What Boone said there at the end about he believes he's the best player on the field. There's an edge that Caballero has that Volpe lacks, and this is where it's maybe a pro Caballero and anti-Volpe thing a little bit. We've talked about it with many guys before, but Will Warren starting tonight, there's times where we've seen this in a big game. I think Will Warren can have like the puppy dog eyes a little bit. Volpe, I think, can be similar vibes to a degree. Whereas Caballero, I think, doesn't have that. He never lets the moment get to him, never gets in his own head. And if he does get in his own head, it's actually to an advantageous sense of it benefits him. If Caballero is thinking about the external, like returning to Tampa Bay, former team, or maybe even, remember early in the year where we were joking, but I'm saying it was kind of true, like Caballero was struggling early on in the season, first couple weeks. And when did he really turn it on? The second Anthony Volpe first showed up in the dugout in the series in Tampa Bay in late April. From there on, Caballero was raking. Competition-wise, mentality-wise, what Boone said there at the end of the postgame, if all things are equal between Caballero and Volpe, I think that is what gives Caballero the edge over him. There's a difference between the two, and that's obvious, but I'm talking just flat out mentally. And with that said, again, not a Volpe hater. That's the last time I'll say it on here. But just simply put, I prefer Caballero at shortstop. He's better at double plays. He, I think, gives you a better at-bat more often than not. I think the highs of Volpe, like when he is hitting well, might be better. But ultimately, consistently, who's a better option at shortstop? What makes the Yankees a better team? I am a firm belief, and I know all you guys probably are too, but I want to talk about this normally, not like a bunch of monkeys going after a banana. I want to talk about this like normal people. I prefer Jose Caballero at shortstop over Anthony Volpe for those reasons listed. Better at turning double plays. I think he grinds you a better at bat. And I think mentally he is better fit to be the everyday shortstop given highs and also given lows on a day in and day out basis. Jose Caballero is the better option. Now, with that said, Boone has remained on the point that, and I probably shouldn't even say remain because this wasn't the case a couple months ago or a month ago, but he did say indeed that shortstop will remain an everyday decision. I don't like that. I disagree with it. Now, part of me wonders if that is because we're facing Ian Samore tonight, who's a reliever that is also like, we don't know if Ian Samore's opening tonight or if he's going to be actually like a true starter. He did go six innings in his last outing, so I guess he is a legitimate option as a guy that can go deep, and like you should plan your lineup around, all right, this is a lefty lineup. I am a full subscriber to platoon lineups. Against this Rays team, though, I would like to just run out, with the exception of put Aly Sanchez behind the plate instead of Austin Wells. Against this Rays team in the trough, I would want to run out the exact same 1-9, besides what we just said. Against the lefty Ian Samore tonight. I want McMahon at third base. I would want Caballero in at shortstop. Grisham in center field, which I think we'll see Grisham no matter what, Bellinger in left. I think what we'll probably end up seeing, if the Yankees do go with a lefty, the anti-lefty orientation, is you'll probably see Volpe at shortstop, Caballero at third, which is fine, but the better defensive team is particularly with McMahon at third base, and I, again, prefer Caballero at short over Volpe. I think we probably don't see that tonight. I would imagine we see Volpe at shortstop, Caballero at third. What was interesting yesterday was Boone said, and they said this in the broadcast, Boone was asked the question, I guess pretty point blank. I didn't hear this live, the question being responded to live, but they said on the Yes broadcast that Boone was asked, is this your best defensive alignment that he put out last night? Which was the exact lineup that we asked for, everything that we all kind of preferred. And Boone said yes. Boone said yes, that was our best defensive alignment 1 through 9 yesterday with Kaby Ertz shortstop, McMahon at third base. I mean, everything that we kind of talked about with the lineup against the Twins on Friday, which was just like, oh, yes, the real Yankees. Last night, word, season's on the line, this is what we put out there. And to like get the point across, I kept saying, the lack of good way of phrasing it, like, I almost want to lose a game with this lineup because at least I can sleep peacefully at night. Last night's lineup is the way to go. We probably won't see that tonight if I had to guess, just because it's a lefty. But we'll see. We'll see. We got the lefty going tonight for the Rays. We also have Shane McClanahan, which is, I think that's, we'll pull that up later. It's McClanahan is starting against Cole. I think that's either, it'll be on the bottom ticker there. It's either Wednesday or Thursday's game. Nonetheless, we made our point about Jose Caballero. I prefer him at shortstop. He should be the Yankee shortstop. Not going to keep saying nothing against Volpe, but just talk normal ball, yo. Like, I'm so over the death to Anthony Volpe crap. Like, it's so, so irritating. And it gets to a point, especially this year, where the players will make errors. I've seen, I mean, granted, I shouldn't really mention my tenure with watching Derek Jeter, although I had some good Derek Jeter years. 2011 was my first season watching, you know that. And that was the year he hit just 270, but offensively, I saw 2012 where he was terrific, over 200 hits. Defensively, though, I never really saw what was, yes, a good Derek Jeter at shortstop, and I'm good off the defensive or the retroactive defensive run saved. Thank you. People act like Derek Jeter, you hit a ground ball to him and you were holding your breath, he would make the play. No, range declined as he got older. We know that. But players will make errors, is my point. Volpe's, they made a couple errors. And like Sunday's error, I can get over that. That's whatever. The Boston relay throw error, that started a conversation. That was putrid. That can't happen. But nonetheless, like, Volpe's been fine at shortstop. He's actually been technically pretty good. He's got on base more than Jose Caballero. Anthony Volpe this year is not the worst player in the world. And if he is, that's on the Yankees, by the way, for playing him. The Yankees started me at shortstop. Does that make me a bad guy, or does that make them a bad guy? So, like, we got to chill on Volpe a little bit. I do want to say, Jose Caballero, just for allow me 30 seconds here to just, I guess, glaze. This was badass. And last night's win was so huge for obvious reasons. But this is a moment, whether it be in this series, last night's game in itself, and of course, had the second home run as well. No doubt about it. Not saying it will be, but it could be looked back at as a turning point on this season. I mean, this home run, the relief, the deep breath that I was able to take after, I was watching my reaction back last night, and I was just able to, I just like sunk back into my chair, just like, just sighed a nice breath of, like, thank you. Thank you, Lord above. That 3-run shot, don't know this for certain, because listen, we're still taking this one day at a time. I will acknowledge the Yankees could go on and lose the next 3 games. I'm nervous about tonight. But what I do know is last night was, I think, probably indisputably the biggest win of the season. It was the biggest game of the season. Therefore, the biggest win of the season. Therefore, right now, probably the biggest hit of the season. And that could be the case come season's end, that we look back on that 3-run shot that Jose Caballero hit last night. As, yeah, exactly that. When all said and done, maybe even, if this all works out the way I still think it very well could, come the end of October, the biggest hit of the season, Jose Caballero, 3-run shot, Monday, July 6th. That was absolutely incredible. And we'll leave it there. I prefer Jose Caballero at shortstop. Volpe? No, I don't want you to die. You're a good kid. You're a good guy. And you've actually been decent this year for what you are. But I think there's a better shortstop on the team, and I prefer Jose Caballero. Simple as that. That's that. That's that. No clips. No freaking, like, picket fence or whatever. There's been picket fence. Picket, what is it saying? Like, pick a, when people are protesting and, you know, making a big scene. It's like, no, make a scene. No. I prefer Jose Caballero at shortstop. That's that. Simple as that. Let's move on, though. Some more stuff, actually, from last night's win. Ben Rice, this was huge. And, again, people will talk about, and this is fine. In the end, it is just one game for now. But You know, Rice goes deep, 25th home run of the year. That was huge. And big insurance, of course, at the time for the game itself. I did think the at-bats looked better from the second time on. And something that I had almost, like, forgot a little bit, and somebody in the chat pointed out, which I'm glad they did. We always would talk about when things were going well, like when the Yankees were just crushing great pitching and things were going well, which wasn't all that long ago. We'd always be watching the games in the watch party and be like, yo, first time through, Yankees, like many teams, like first time through, like they may not look great, but be patient because second time through, they're one of the best teams, at least at the time, the best team in baseball second time through the order where they develop their plan of attack and they put that plan of attack in motion and oftentimes it would work out second time through. And somebody reminded me of that last night, too. I'm like, that is true. Like, I have kind of forgotten about that because, you know, things just haven't been going well. But I was like, that is very true. Like, let's, you know, first time through, it was terrible. They were 9 up, 9 down. At-bats didn't look good. I mean, there were a couple, like, actually Austin Wells had a nice hard-hit line drive. But it was like, all right, nice hit, Wells. But he lined out to right field. But anyways, like, we did not look good first time through. Second time through against Jax on, obviously you have everything that we saw with, you know, Dominguez walk, Jazz walk. Which were two huge walks, the Caballero home run. Second time through on against Jax, and then the first inning against, who was it, Sulcer in the Rays bullpen. Like, I thought the at-bats looked pretty good. Even the 1-2-3 they went down, I believe it was in the sixth, where Grisham kind of got screwed last night, some hard hit balls, some lineouts. There were just some better at-bats. Goldschmidt, I think he had another 0-for yesterday, but he had like some good at-bats. There were some balls where... you know, he had a ball that he almost went deep, but it was foul to the left. Listen, if we lost last night, I wouldn't be taking moral victories. And by the way, if we lose tonight and it looks ugly again, we'll talk about it in its entirety. I thought the at-bats last night, particularly second time on against Jax and then against the Rays bullpen, not all of them. There were still some rough at-bats. Like, Bellinger just did not look good last night. But that's, we'll talk about that when we lose. For right now, I saw some promising things last night. And Rice, obviously going deep. Results-wise, that's one of them. But he had some lineouts as well. Like, the at-bats... I'm sorry, they looked better last night. They just did. And for right now, I will take that and be like, let's see if we continue that going into tonight. Now, I also liked a couple of Jason Dominguez's at-bats. And he obviously got screwed in that ABS challenge, which we're not going to talk about too much that itself. Because that was BS, we know that. I want to play this Aaron Boone soundbite. And here's where some people may click off the show, and that's fine. Here's where I stand on what I'm about to play for you. This is what I believe is the real Aaron Boone talking. The Aaron Boone that just reacts naturally and doesn't have to worry about how can I phrase this in a way that doesn't diss my players to the media? How can I just say what is not true just so I don't come off as unnecessarily calling somebody out to the public while I can just handle it internally? Because in reality... what I say to you, and how I'm actually going to handle this internally, is none of your business. Which is annoying. And maybe it is our business, but we know how they operate. My point is always, like with Camilo Duvall, what he tells us means absolutely nothing. Him saying Camilo Duvall is throwing the ball well is infuriating. It's absurd. This is how the Yankee regime operates. But if you actually believe Aaron Boone thinks Camilo Duvall is throwing the ball well, I think you're kind of crazy. And I said it yesterday in a more aggressive way, but I said, like, do you actually believe Aaron Boone wants this effing bum on the roster? Of course he doesn't. But he's not going to tell us that, because that's his job. Here's Aaron Boone reacting to the ABS challenge last night. And to me, this is the real Aaron Boone. This is Aaron Boone without a guard up, just talking ball, because what is there for him to hold back? In this case, there's no reason to be fluffy. There's no reason to... Let's just play the soundbite. Here's Boone last night on the Jason Dominguez ABS challenge, which for those who didn't see, Jason tapped his head. You'll see the replay. And it just was not... acknowledged for some odd reason. Here's Boone last night after that.
What was going on with the umpires and Dominguez and the
Jets? If you go back a couple weeks ago at home, it's the same thing. Emil missed a pitch up. JD challenged right away. Didn't grant it there. And then the same thing happened, and he pointed the dugout like it was influenced by us. The dugout's always going to react. He did it instantaneously. It's a bad call. It's a bad look. And... I don't get it, and I know it's this crew. They're sticklers for being immediate and all that. It was pretty immediate, and you know, the challenge absolutely should have been allowed, like it absolutely should have been allowed a couple weeks ago.
I feel like it's one of those things, you either know what I mean or you don't. Like, that was the real Boone talking. And my point here is always, doesn't mean if the Yankees were to, this season were to fail, you know, I always say the same thing. Consequences, clean house. I'll never call for Boone's job. Excuse me. I'll never call for Boone's job without calling for Cashman's job as well. And you guys know, I don't think this slide is to his fault. The players have to step up. Last night they did, word up. But like, trust me, I am not a Boone defender. I couldn't care less. In the end, like, whatever. But in terms of what he says to us with defense of his players, understand that is exactly what he was hired to do. That's exactly what got Girardi fired, was speaking poorly publicly about Gary Sanchez to the media. Boone's never going to do that. Is it annoying? Yes. But we just can't take those quotes for anything more than just what they are, which is fluff, BS, nonsense. And the reason I played that clip last night is, one, it's just a good explanation, because that was a BS call, and we won the game, so we can kind of get over it, but it was BS at the time, it's BS now. And Boone had no reason to have his guard up there. He was just talking. And that, to me, was the real Aaron Boone. Great win last night. That was a fantastic win last night, biggest win of the season. We also got one more thing to talk about here. We'll do this quick. We've talked about this before, but you guys know I am down for the possibility of acquiring Luis Arraez from the San Francisco Giants. I'm kind of done with Jazz. Jazz, too many mental mistakes, too many times where it seems like he, in particular, is not focused. The highs are very high. The lows are too low. And we've been getting a lot of lows lately. Talked about the Minnesota game on Sunday where he got picked off at first base, which I didn't even know at the time. Apparently, he was fiddling with his gloves, and that's what led to that happening. You all know what I'm talking about. You're either on the same page or you disagree, which is totally fine. I just am kind of like, I am ready to move on. We know the Yankees aren't going to re-sign him come next year. So this is his last year as a Yankee. And an upgrade at second base is indeed Luis Arraez. Here's Buster only yesterday on the Michael Kay Show talking about him being a perfect fit and how it's a move. You hear at the very end that the Yankees, he says, could make right now.
The San Francisco Giants called around to other teams 2-3 weeks ago and said, you know what? We're ready to talk about everybody other than Logan Webb, Bryce Eldridge, and some of our young players who are willing to take offers on Matt Chapman and Willie Adames and Rafael Devers. And the guy who would be a perfect fit for the Yankees right now is Luis Arraez. He's a great player in this moment because he's a metronome of offense. He's always going to hit the ball hard. He's having a great season defensively. You put him at second base, and you tell Jazz Chisholm, who's a free agent at the end of the year, look, as you have in the past, we're going to have to move you around for us because you need a consistent offensive player. You can go make a deal for Luis Arraez right now.
You can make a deal for Luis Arraez right now, which is obviously very much true. As he mentions, the conversation started with, well, who's really like open for business right now because everybody's in it, which is very true. The Giants are one of the few teams, one of really the only teams that are clearly selling. They've told everybody they're selling, and Luis Arraez is available. To make this simple and short, I want the Yankees to make this deal. I want them to go out and get Luis Arraez. And something I'll often see as a pushback is like, Luis Arraez doesn't profile well in Yankee Stadium, all this and that. Listen, it feels like a point that I would make a few years back when I was very heavily analytical. There's a middle ground to all this. If I was creating a lineup of 9 Luis Arraez, I would look into that more. If I was signing Luis Arraez to a 6-year deal to be a cornerstone piece of this team going forward, yeah, I would look into more how he profiles in Yankee Stadium, which, first of all, only half your games are played in Yankee Stadium. Second of all, it's not like Jazz Chisholm Jr. is lighting up the world by any means. His numbers of running scoring position and his overall season has been pretty putrid at this point. Luis Arraez, complete opposite in .325 of the 124 WRC+. Defense is much improved, very much improved. He's been one of the best defensive second basemen in baseball. For those who don't know, by the way, the Yankee Stadium thing is because you're in right field. The porch is short, so they wouldn't be playing all that deep. They'd be playing in a lot of the fly balls, like booping hits that Arraez has. They'd be well positioned for just to feel them to be out. But Arraez also goes to the opposite field. He hits with runners in scoring position. He's been fine defensively, and he would just be a consistent hitter on this team. Would he be a 124 WRC+? No, maybe not. but could he be a 110 WRC plus that also with runners in scoring position is a vast improvement over Jazz Chisholm Jr. at second base? Yes, I think he'd be an upgrade. I want the Yanks to go out and get him, and I think it's a deal that they might actually make. And I liked hearing that. Now, that's just opinion. That's Buster only just saying his opinion. But it makes total sense. And the part that I like a lot is the fact that he said, and it's true, the Yankees can make this deal right now. And it's a deal they should make. We know we need bullpen. We know we need a catcher. And a good point somebody made on the comments yesterday, pushback, was about Ryan Jeffers. Like, are we sure the Twins are going to trade Ryan Jeffers now? That is actually a good concern. I mean, to mention, like, that is true. The Twins are technically in it now, too. I want Ryan Jeffers bad. Another unfortunate situation that came from losing against the Twins, besides the obvious, is that, yeah, the Twins are indeed in it. Maybe they won't trade Ryan Jeffers. That would be very unfortunate. But nonetheless, we know we need a catcher. The Yankees will get a catcher. We know we need a bullpen. Bullpen help. The Yankees will get bullpen help. Those two boxes have to be checked. I anticipate that they will be. But afterwards, how else can you improve this team? Luis Arraez is a way to do that. I want him bad. You could lead him off. Buster only mentions batting him behind Aaron Judge, which could, you know, change the way opposing managers like use their bullpen against, you know, bringing the reliever for Judge and just the way that whole thing would work out. I'd rather just, you know, put Luis Arraez at leadoff, give you a nice true leadoff hitter, bat Rice third. You could do Bellinger fourth, Grisham fifth or sixth, Stanton in there, of course, too. Who knows when Stanton's coming back? He hasn't even began running, apparently. So we'll see what the deal is on that. But nonetheless, I want Luis Arraez. I liked what Buster only said yesterday. And the big thing is that he says it's a trade the Yankees go out and make right now, which, word up. We're getting there, yo. Trade deadline's now less than a month away. It's August 3rd. It's now July 7th. Before you know it, it'll be the second half. We have three games against the Nationals to wrap up the first half. And then from there, All-Star break Monday through Thursday. You come out of the second half to begin that against the Dodgers at home. Before you know it, it will be the trade deadline. So we're getting there, yo. We're almost already there. Anyways, with all that said, huge win last night. Game two tonight, it'll be Will Warren versus Ian Seymour. I anticipate, because he's a lefty and he might be looked at as a true starter for the Rays, not just an opener. You might see, yeah, probably Volpe at short, Cabrera at third, which I would prefer just to go with our best defensive alignment, which is Cabrera at short, McMahon at third. We'll see exactly what they do. Nonetheless, huge win last night. We're taking this one day at a time. I'm nervous going into tonight, but all I know is Yankees had probably their biggest win of the season last night. Cam dominated. Jose Caballero, probably the biggest hit of the season when all said and done last night. That was a great win. Great win. We'll see what they got tonight. We'll see what Will Warren's got tonight. He pitched well against Detroit his last start, so that's good. Need more of that tonight. And then we'll see what happens offensively. But nonetheless, 6:40 first pitch on Yes. We'll be live again for that game, of course, for the watch party here on YouTube. Morning Yankees Show. We're live Monday through Friday. Always right around 8 o'clock a.m., sometimes maybe a few minutes after. But nonetheless, live on YouTube every single day, every morning, live for the watch parties, all four games against the Rays. Available on podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, all this and that. If you haven't already, please do leave a like on the stream. It does help out a great deal. Subscribe if you're new. Follow Yankees Avenue on Instagram, Facebook, all this and that. All this and that. Why do I keep repeating myself? Just kidding. Anyways, great win last night. I'll see you guys later for the Game 2 watch party. Until then, have a great Tuesday. And yeah, I got to get out of here and get on Baseball Today. We're recording nice and early. So if you're a viewer of Baseball Today, which you absolutely should be with Chris Rose and Trevor Plouffe, the show should be out pretty early today because we're recording at 10 a.m. Eastern. So I got to get on that. Love you guys so much. Go Yanks. I'll see you later for Game 2, Yankees versus Rays, Will Warren versus Ian Seymour. Until then, have a great rest of your day and let's go Yanks.